5 minutes after the hour. Top Text Tuesday. It's multitasking, Colfax. Is that good? I'm a musician now, my friend.
I know. How's that going?
It's going well.
Yeah?
It's going well.
Learned any songs yet?
Yeah, I learned Holy Night. Do it. My wife asked if I do some Christmas tunes for her. And my kiddo just loves like Christmas music and any kind of softer like acoustic music. So I've learned learned a couple. Holy Night. We got Silent Night. Big fan of night songs. So yeah. I got those down. Holy Night's difficult.
Is it?
Very tough.
Well, lots of chord changes?
Lots of stuff.
There?
Lots yeah. of stuff going on there. Yeah. It took me a while. And just learning some chords, you know, just practicing the chords. Got the numb fingers and all that stuff, man.
Yeah, you got to build those calluses up.
Yeah, they're getting there. I would show you. I don't know if you can see that
one. Yeah, I can see that
one. Can you see that?
Oh.
Yeah, pretty proud of that bad boy there. So we're getting there, Colfax. Soon I'll be, you know, when we can have concerts again, I'll be having my own concert somewhere.
Yeah, plenty of time to practice at this point.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm just getting really awesome. So that's fine. We'll be ready to rock for that. But so far, so good. Colfax, normally we do our full recap of the NFL week that was on Tuesdays. We do have a game tonight, Cowboys-Ravens, but we're going to bust it out. Let's get to it. What happened in a crazy week 13 in the NFL? Man, it was good. Not good for the Broncos. Broncos lose to the Chiefs, and I'm issuing a challenge to all hooligans. Give me your best text. Dixon's trying to win this thing off of a bullying text. He is a bully. The Chiefs are bullies. You're a bully. Tyreek Hill's a bully. Travis Kelce doesn't know whether he's a bully or not because he was, let's face it, absolutely tanked after that game. Because he didn't even know who that... It's the only excuse I can find, right? He didn't know who he was playing. That's the only thing I can think of, man. All right. Broncos lose the Chiefs 22-16. That was a rough go. Saints-Falcons. I mean, the Falcons tried to make that interesting. They couldn't do it. 21-16. Taysom Hill was still there. He throws two touchdown passes, and the Saints found a way to hold on against the Falcons, 21-16. The Saints are 10-2, even without Drew Brees. I mean, one of those wins, it helps when the team you're going against doesn't have a quarterback, but whatever. Falcons 4-8. The Lions and the Bears, we're talking about Matt Stafford. Well, he threw for 402 yards, three touchdowns, and they beat the Bears 34-30. You know, Lions 5-7, Bears 5-7. I'll be curious to see what both of these organizations do in the offseason. They have some, like the Lions have they have a good quarterback. Matt Stafford's a good quarterback. Just everything around him is in shambles. How about this one, Colfax? All right. I'm starting to become a little bit of a believer. The Browns beat the Titans 41-35.
It's caught by Landry. Third and goal. The dive. Chubb is in. Touchdown. The Cleveland Browns pouring it on in Nashville.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the Titans came back, kind of made it interesting, but Baker Mayfield, 334 yards, four touchdowns. Nick Chubb had 80 yards rushing. And our boy, Hollywood Higgins, six receptions for 95 yards and a touchdown, and one of the best celebrations, you know, touchdown end zone celebrations I've seen in a while. Dolphins beat the Bengals 19-17. The Dolphins are now 8-4, very much cemented in that playoff position at this stage. Vikings, Jaguars. Are the Vikings going to do this thing? Sitting at 6-6, it takes overtime for them to do it. They found a way, and they beat the Jags 27-24. Kirk Cousins had 305 yards, three touchdowns. But Dalvin Cook, my goodness, another monster game. 32 carries! Why didn't Melvin Gordon have 32 carries? Dalvin Cook had 32 carries, 120 yards. Okay, this is the kind of game that will get you fired. Raiders are down to the Jets. The Jets might get their very first win. All you got to do is keep the Raiders from going deep. And instead, you put a rookie corner on one of the fastest guys on the planet in Henry Ruggs. And here's what happened.
Jets coming. Carr put some air under it. Wide open is Ruggs for the touchdown. Miraculous.
No, he didn't. Wow. Look, Henry Ruggs runs 4.27 40. You know that he can fly.
You're going to go one-on-one coverage. Like, I'm not even sure I'm signing off on that if Champ Bailey's out there or Darrell Revis. You're going one-on-one coverage against a guy that can run a 4.2. Maybe he can't catch. Maybe he's not good, but he's going to beat you. And he did. Wow. And it got Greg Williams fired. So there you go. Colts and the Texans. And don't look now. Phillip Rivers is like barely alive right now. He needs surgery already, offseason surgery. And yet he is still clicking. He's an older quarterback. He has 975 children. Yet they find a way to beat the Texans. They beat them 26-20. The Colts are 8-4. I mean, it's miraculous. It's fun. I mean, I know a lot of people in the AFC West just don't like Phillip Rivers, but, you know, an efficient game. 285 yards, 27 of 35, and 2 touchdowns. He didn't throw any picks. So he's just getting the job done. Rams, Cardinals. Are the Rams better than the Steelers? Rams just are so good in their division, man. They're just so good. I'm just thinking about teams that have kind of been under the radar, and then with the Steelers lose yesterday, and we'll talk about that, or last night. The Rams beat the Cardinals 38-28. Jared Goff, 351 yards and a touchdown. And, yeah, they're 8-4. Here was an upset before the major upset. How about the Giants finding a way to beat the Seattle Seahawks?
Wayne Goldman, big hole. There he goes. Jamal Adams trying to catch up to him. Finally, Brooks rips him down inside the 20. Biggest play of the day for the Giants offense.
And I didn't play him. You're welcome, McClain. Colt McCoy, 105 yards. Not really anything crazy, but, you know, he was there. And the Giants found a way. And the Giants, I mean, don't look now, but the Giants are actually playing some pretty good football. They're 5-7. They're probably going to win that division. Eagles, Packers. This was, I guess, the deciding game for Carson Wentz. Packers win 30-16 over the Eagles. Jalen Hurts comes in and provides something kind of neat. Enough to give him the starting job, and now we wonder what's next for Carson Wentz. Packers win 30-16. The Packers move on 9-3, 5-1 at home. Patriots, Chargers. Oh my goodness. They won 45-0. If I told you the Patriots won 45-0, you'd probably guess Cam Newton threw for what? 300 yards? 400 yards? Dare we even say 500 yards? How about 69 yards? That's all he threw for in this game. And a touchdown. They ran for 165. But they picked up, you know, the defense was good, I guess. It was absolutely nuts, man. They had a couple of interceptions, a couple of fumbles forced. How do you score 45 points when your quarterback throws for less than 70 yards? I have no clue, but they win. And the Patriots are 6-6. Now they're looking like a playoff team. Here was the upset special, Colfax. And Alex Smith and company getting it done. The Washington football team beat the Steelers 23-17.
Blitz is coming. Smith under pressure going end zone. He's got it. Touchdown, Logan Thomas. And Washington an extra point away from tying it. Snap and hold are good. And Hopkins has got it. Down to 2, down to 1, and the Washington football team with the upset in Pittsburgh.
And the Steelers are undefeated no more. And it took, I mean, Alex Smith was the comeback player of the year before he even touched a football field, Colfax. If you've seen pictures of his leg, then you and I, we would still be lying down if that happened to us. This guy's playing football, and he just beat the best football team in the NFL. 31-46, 296 yards and a touchdown. I love that, man. Wow, chills. Alex Smith, what a great story in this terrible, terrible year that is 2020. And finally, the Bills beat the 49ers 34-24. The Bills are 9-3. Josh Allen, 32 of 40, 375 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's a tough pill to swallow when you see Josh Allen do things like that and Drew Lock's kind of where he is at this stage. And, you know, Colfax, we're knocking Drew Lock a lot here at this, you know, this week, and we have been for several weeks, I suppose. But you're just not seeing the glimpses. You know, Josh Allen, even at the beginning of the season, I was watching Good Morning Football on NFL Network. I like to watch that in the, early in the mornings. And you know, they even said, you know, Josh Allen is this kind of, he's this rebel. You know, he's going to play really, really good football. And then suddenly you're going to see just a crazy play or two that's either going to result in absolute madness and he almost gets sacked. He finds a way. He throws it up. It gets tipped. It's caught. First down, whatever. Or he's going to get sacked, fumble it, crazy interception. He was doing some of that early in the season. He is cleaning up some of those early mistakes where his brain just kind of checks out for a play or two. And now he's got his team at a 9-3 record. And Broncos fans today, again, talking about what could have been. You know, you and I were looking at that draft class from 18, and Denver passed on Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. They were there. You know, Bradley Chubb is a fine player, but it's you know, we're always going to talk about that. For the rest of Allen's career, he will be known as and especially if Allen just goes on to do really extraordinary things, he's going to be known as that quarterback that Elway let get away. And especially a guy that's in his own backyard. You know, right? We saw it with Philip Lindsay. We see it with Josh Allen. It's frustrating. Pillow fight, Dan Brady, longtime listener, first time texter. Okay. Remind me again how much better the Texans are than the Browns. Ah, yeah. Pillow fight, Dan and I had our. Had our quarrel. I'll admit it. You're right. The Browns turned it around. I don't know how they've done it. 3 weeks ago, I was questioning it, saying this team has too good of a record. I don't understand. I mean, that game over the weekend was fun to watch, though. Browns look good. Yes, Colfax.
I just wanted to point out that back in 2017, the Boise State Broncos beat the Wyoming Cowboys. Brett Rypien versus Josh Allen, 24-14.
So are you saying we should give Brett Rypien a shot?
Just throwing that out there.
Dynamite. So what was the stat? Do you have the box score brought up there?
Yes. What do you need?
What was Brett Rypien's stat line?
Brett had 14 out of 19 completions, 124 yards.
Touchdown, interceptions?
None of those.
You see, Josh Allen had a lot of those games in Wyoming.
See, Josh Allen had 12 for 27, 131 yards, one touchdown, but two interceptions.
Go back and look at a lot of Josh Allen games, and you're going to see a lot of games like that. The game they played CSU a few years back in the snow game, I mean, and I get it was snowing, but I've seen quarterbacks throw for 300 yards in a snow game. Patrick Mahomes does it all the time. Allen's similar stats. So, why wasn't Brett Rypien, why wasn't he drafted?
I don't know.
Because I figured, even in all the projections that I had, I figured Brett Rypien would go in the third or fourth round. You know, he was pretty good with Boise State. He doesn't get drafted. That's a great point.
Well, they were top 25 team for a year or two, right?
Yeah.
Was that last year, the year before?
They typically are.
Yeah.
And Rypien, we had the debate, remember? We did a poll question for this.
Yeah.
It was when CSU still had Nick Stevens. It was who was going to be the better quarterback this year, Nick Stevens, Brett Rypien, or Josh Allen? And I'm not for sure on this, but I'm pretty sure we got more votes for Brett Rypien. You know, and I trust Hooligans on this. So maybe the answer is, you know, with or without Drew Lock, you go into the offseason with both of those guys, and you let them duke it out. I'll admit I wanted to see Brett Rypien. I will say I'm bummed about the whole quarterback room thing. Because it wasn't just Drew Lock that gets, you know, doesn't get a play. It's Brett too, and I want to see more of him. But that's not. I got to tell you, that's as much as I want that to happen. Is that a game plan going in? And if it fails, which I would suppose an undrafted guy, the chances are good. You're going to be Broncos country is going to be at you again for going into an offseason with a guy you don't think's that great, Drew Lock, and a guy that's unproven in Brett Rypien. But I'm with you. I mean, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see him get an opportunity. Sir Charles, quote of the day, the Eagles, they're actually, no, oh, the Giants you mean. Yeah, the Eagles are not. The Giants are actually playing some good football. They're 5-7 leading their division. Isn't that like, kind of like putting whipped cream on top of poop? What? Oh, Sir Charles. That's Sir Charles on that. Dude, the Giants are pretty good. Did you hear Colin Cowherd? He's going to say it on the show today. I saw it in his preview video. He thinks that The Giants are better than Pittsburgh now. Like, right now. Put them up against each other. He's taking the Giants to win. It's what he said. I mean, he's, yeah. Gets after
I think
it.
He said the Broncos were his dark horse to take the Super Bowl this year.
I think he also said Drew Lock was a dark horse to be the MVP, too, yeah. Didn't he? In fairness, he finally backs away from that to start the season. Does it... You can't. Can you hold it to him if they back away right at the start of the season?
I guess.
He must have got something. He must have heard. He must have heard something. He must have got some kind of insider information that's like, you know what? Actually, we're watching Drew Lock. And... Are you cool with the dancing stuff that he does? Because that's coming to surface again.
I'd prefer if he did backflips in there, too.
Yeah. Right before he scores a touchdown.
Yeah, that'd be best.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it if it's a Bronco.
Yeah.
Pillify dance. Pillify Dan says you'll be able to see more of Rippon in like 4 years when he's in the XFL playing for the Memphis Honeybees or something. I'd pay to go see the Memphis Honeybees. Is that even a team? Because why is that not a real team? The Memphis Honeybees. Like, let's make that happen. Okay, so Pillify Dan, so does that mean Drew Lock's your guy for 4 years? Because right now there's no other plan B, and John Elway's not a big plan B kind of guy. Are you good with Drew Lock starting the season next year based on the information you have right now in front of you? 4 games left. Are you good with Drew Lock being the starting quarterback game one next year? And if not, then what's the other plan? Are you going to go get a free agent and try it again? Because you failed with Case Keenum and you failed with Joe Flacco. Now, I know Peyton Manning worked out, but I don't think any of us really realized how rare that really was for an amazing quarterback to transition over and still play. Like, Tom Brady's doing okay in Tampa. Nothing like what Peyton Manning did, especially coming off of four neck surgeries. That will never happen again. Manning was toast. He wasn't supposed to come back. The Colts did the smart thing. They actually did the smart thing. They gave up on Manning. They sucked for Luck, and they got their guy, and they were in the playoffs after that for a while. But Manning proved everybody wrong. That's never going to happen again. Matt Ryan, you know, Matt Stafford, Carson Wentz. Those are all good stories, and it'd be kind of cool, but let's face it, what's the most you can hope for? Those guys, last I checked, you know, even though Carson Wentz, his team went there and won it, none of those guys have won a Super Bowl. 23 minutes after the hour. Going to take a short break. Tell you guys about Red Wing Shoes. There's a location in Greeley, up the road from the station here. It's on 10th Street. And a location in Johnstown by Shields. They're giving away 2 pairs of boots at a value of $250. All you got to do is walk in the store, sign up. There's a sled by the cash register. Grab a sign-up sheet, write your name, your email address, fold it up, put it in there, boom. You're entered to win. There's no purchase. You don't have to get a sizing. It's none of that stuff. You just go in. Hey, I'm here to sign up for the free pair of boots from the whole show announcement. Boom. You sign it, go. You go about your day. And we're going to be giving 2 pairs of those away. So stop by Red Wing Shoes in the Greeley location or the Johnstown location. 24 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We're going to talk to Drew Kreisman in a moment. Yes, some Rockies talk. It could be worse, Broncos fans. You could be the Rockies.
You want football? Set your dial to KFKA. Hear NFL games all season long on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Okay, all right, Dixon comes in here, and Hooligans, I'm issuing a challenge here. You cannot let this text win today. I don't make the rules. We have to decide on what the best text is, the most creative, the best take, whatever, even if it's against what our hearts desire here. Dixon comes in, throwing some shade at our guy Colfax, because Colfax said Mahomes was scared on Sunday night. Dixon says, Colfax says Mahomes is scared, Broncos fans crying about a flip. But Locke gives the Hulk Hogan can't hear you signal when he hasn't won It's okay to hate the bully, but you sound really lame. Try focusing on something else, like actually winning a game. Dixon, the arch nemesis of the show. Hooligans, come on. I'm challenging you. I got Broncos gear on the line. First one to three, but you're not going to let Dixon actually get one of those. And Dixon likes to play this game, this mental game, and say, well, I'll never win because I'm a Chiefs fan. He won one, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He won, the McCaffrey ball.
That's right.
Yeah, he won the McCaffrey ball. So, I mean, we're fair. We're fair here. Unlike Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, we're good people. You know, we're good people. We're good, honest, hardworking people. We're not going to do flips in front of your face.
Not like you could see it anyway. But
we're not going to. If I do a flip, I'm probably going to die. Yeah. I'm not going to forget who you are. You know, I'm not going to forget who you are, Dixon. I always say your name correctly. I'm not Travis Kelce. Come on. That was a bad move. Pillow Fight Dan commenting on the question I asked him. Yeah, I'm good with it. This team is way more than a good quarterback away from a title. Broncos are where the Nuggets were 4 years ago. Oh, Pillow Fight Dan, you lost me, man. Yeah, draft, develop, then do it again for another 3 years. I'll give you a couple of differences on that idea. Vic Fangio versus Mike Malone. Tim Conley versus John Elway. Who you taking? I mean, Conley has proven it time and time again. Nikola Jokic, depending on who you ask, is a top five, top eight talent in the NBA. Broncos, okay, they drafted Von Miller at one point. He was probably, yeah, he was top five, top 10 talent in the NBA, or in the NFL. But I mean, you know, Joker, the difference between Joker and Von Miller, I mean, Joker is the difference. If he's off that team, Denver's maybe a playoff team, probably not, right? Maybe a decent team, but not a playoff team. If Vaughn's off the team, then, I mean, you've seen Vaughn.
We're looking at it.
We're looking at it, but he was on the team last year, and we're looking at the same thing. I don't think so, man. Pillow Fight Dan, there's no way. They're not even close. The Broncos are a train wreck of an organization. The Nuggets have, ever since Tim Conley and Mike Malone got together and they fused this group together, they have been getting better literally every single year. You think the Broncos are on that path right now? I mean, they're on pace to act. I'll admit, I came into the season thinking this team was going to be okay. It was going to be damn good, actually. But I'm walking away opposite now. This team is not on a positive upward slope here. Last year, yes, you could say that when Locke comes in and goes 4-1, you felt pretty good about that. All that's gone. And the next four games are going to repair that, but you're just going to be left off where you were last season. No. The Nuggets and the Avalanche, the two of those teams, they're completely different franchises than the Broncos and the Rockies right now. Completely. From head to toe. Dixon says, dang it, if I would have waited, I could have worked A.J. Boye into my text as being a cheater and getting suspended. Yeah, because no Chiefs ever do anything wrong. 31 minutes after the hour. We will talk Rockies. It could be worse, like I said. We're going to have Drew Kreisman help us out. What's the future look like with Jeff Breidich running the show? We'll catch up with Drew. It's been a little while. So 31 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
Four minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're efforting right now to get Drew Kreisman on the program, our Rockies insider from DNVR Rockies. DNVR, they do some damn good work. You know, we love talking to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. We get him on twice a week. And Drew, of course, is our Rockies guy. And it's an interesting time for Rockies fans right now. I think that's one thing that can all bring us together. We're all like, it's a weird time in our worlds right now. But maybe having a common enemy is where we need to go. And Jeff Breidich might be that guy. Drew Kreisman joining us from DNVR Rockies. Drew, my man, aliens are real. I saw your tweet. I'm with you. Let's prepare.
I'm just, you know. Look, come on, man. That's always been really funny to me, though. That no one wants to be the alien guy. That's really what it's about. No one wants to be that guy on Ancient Aliens with the hair and the whole thing going, now look. No one wants to be that guy, and I get it, but... Come on, man.
I'm with you, man. People start talking about it, and I don't care whatever religion you're into, whatever movies you're into, whatever crazy stuff you're into. Suddenly, we talk about aliens, and everyone's like, no way. There is no way that is possible.
Like, where I sit on the couch decides whether or not my football team scores a touchdown. But, you know, there's a trillion billion planets in the universe, but we're the only one that's got life on it. Sure. Okay. Yeah, and I'm the crazy one. Sure.
Do you think they're just like, look, what's going on with all these monoliths too? Are those real, or are we all just screwing around now at this point?
No, that's definitely someone's messing with us, but still I'm down for it.
The first one I was into, like when that first one came out, I was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Where the hell did that come from? What is going on here? And now they're all over the place, and I'm like, I've been duped again. But it happens.
Yeah, it got to the point where my girlfriend was like, should I tell him the news that this next one, they knew that like some kids went out. She's like, so just so you know, I'm not saying the first one couldn't have been aliens. I'm like, thank you. That's all I'm asking. Leave the door open. Come on.
I love it, man. I'm with you 100% on this whole deal. Colfax and I were talking about when it first came out. I'm like, you know, so they're sending us a message right now. I'm not sure what it is, but yeah, we'll see. Drew, my friend, how are we doing in the world of the Colorado Rockies right now? There's so many question marks. It was a rough season. In a season where we thought, man, maybe this season's built for Colorado. A short season, maybe they can pull it off, extra playoff games. But here we are. We have the biggest question mark surrounding this organization than I can remember.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a really weird and mostly pretty bad spot. Like, it's rough out there. It really is bad just for everyone involved that they had this 60-game season and that Nolan was hurt for most of it, and they didn't have Scott Oberg at all, and they really basically didn't have John Gray, and it was this funky, weird season. And now people can say, and not be wrong, but like, well, the Rockies have been bad for 2 years, right? So it's like, well, okay, that's technically true. I can't argue with that. That is true. But it's also like, you know, the number of games and I don't think they've got a lot of avenues to turn themselves around and be a great team next year, just to be honest with everybody. But I don't think it's nearly, you know, I think it's, so much of it is, as you're saying, as I was coming in here, you know, it's tied up in the bad feelings around the team. You look at the roster and it's still like decent. And yeah, they need some things to go their way. As the story is always going to be the case with the Rockies. They're going to need some things to go their way. They're not going to be able to survive catastrophic injuries like their star third baseman getting hurt in like game three of the season and then just not hitting for the rest of the year. Like, they can't survive that. And it sucks, but that's how it is. You know, but if some things go their way, yeah, they can compete. The problem is just nobody has any faith in Jeff Breidich to get any of these decisions right. And I totally understand why that's the case. And beyond that, the door I've been knocking at lately is that so much more of this is really about the owner. And yeah, that's a more difficult problem to solve. I think in a lot of ways, when I say like Jeff Breidich has been scapegoated, I don't mean to say that like he hasn't done bad things and doesn't maybe, you know, deserve to be replaced. But I do think that, you know, the more you learn about it and the more you look into it, the more you realize that Jeff Breidich is oftentimes just the guy going out and executing the plays being called by an owner who's way too involved in day-to-day baseball decisions, won't let him do things like get out from underneath a bad contract because, you know, fans like that guy who's got the bad contract or whatever else it may be. And it's just like, you can only, like, these problems didn't arrive with Jeff Breidich, and they don't go away with him. They were the same problems under Dan O'Dowd. And it's just Dick Monfort needs to hire a team president and step away from doing things. Stop doing stuff. We did on the DNVR Rockies podcast, we started hashtag stop doing stuff, Dick.
I love it, man. I'm in. Well, that's the thing. You can point to the obvious ones, too. Look at the Rockies' relationship over the past several years with star players. It's all really good for a moment, and then it just crashes and burns. And I really don't know what's going to happen with Nolan Arenado. I can tell you nothing good for the future of the Rockies. That's how I feel anyway, Drew. You would know more than me. But I look at the star players, or not even necessarily the stars, guys that are fan favorites that are kind of prospects. David Dahl with injuries, right. But, I mean, we all had high hopes for this guy, and just like that, it's over with. So I look at star players. I look at kind of some prospects in there, and it usually just ends in shambles.
Yeah, the David Dahl thing was really bad.
Yeah,
that was,
it was awful.
That's just bad. I do think there's a little bit of like COVID, like they're all crying poor and they say they've got no cash on hand, so they just had to save money and buy that or don't. But it's unique. I don't think in any other year they're cutting David Dahl. Still, it's bad. And I don't think that the Arenado thing is necessarily, you know, I don't think he's necessarily gone. In fact, I still think the odds are against him leaving unless, you know, he really does just demand a trade from the Rockies and they capitulate. Because I in this economy, I don't think he's taken that. Thank you. I don't think he's taken that opt-out. I really don't. I don't think there are going to be guys in the next 4 or 5, 6 years who are going to be signing deals that allow them to make $35 million into their mid-30s. Like, we may not have seen that anymore anyway. That was my argument before owners decided that guys like David Dahl and I'm blanking now on the guy with the Twins, Carlos Rodon, like a lot of really talented players just getting straight out cut. The Rays, the Charlie Morton, see ya, sorry, you're not worth $24 million. Of course he is. What are you? But these guys, and so, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of other suitors. I don't think it's a slam dunk. In fact, I think the odds are very much against Nolan taking that opt-out. So then the question just becomes, does he want to be here? Can they build around him? Is it a good thing for the Rockies to have this guy on the roster at $35 million a year? And, you know, I don't think he's going to be such a poor sport that, you know, he really becomes a problem or anything like that. I just don't think that's how Nolan operates, but...
Yeah. Well, and Drew, you bring up a good point, too, and we've talked about this, too. And Nolan's one of those guys that is so well-protected. You can't talk about trading him. You can't talk about not honoring that second part of the contract because he's that good of a player. But you're right. Can they afford to have a third baseman at that cost when they still have so many needs? It's just like in the NFL. It's all about the quarterback in baseball. We've talked about it a bazillion times. It's about the pitching staff. It's about the bullpen. And I know it's tough to whatever in Colorado, but if you're not trying, you're certainly going to fail.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a theory to which there's a lot of statistical evidence to back it up that the Rockies really just shouldn't have star players. And it's brutal because when you think through their history, that's the one thing they've always had. Through the ups and downs, you could always count on coming to the ballpark and seeing the Bombers or seeing Tad Helton or seeing Tulo and Cargo or seeing Story and Arenado. And you know, if they stay totally pat and just show up next year with how the roster sits right now in December, Trevor Story and Nolan Arenado are going to be rolling out there, and they're going to be making more money than it. Charlie Blackman as well. They make the most money, and they take up the most resources, and in a smaller market team and in a place where you can't get pitchers to come here without paying a 20, 30, 40% tax, that makes it difficult to build, and it always has. And so, yeah, there's an argument to be made that, you know, they should just build like the A's and the Rays and never sign the big money deals and get rid of guys like Nolan and Trevor. See, if you're building like that, you never sign Nolan to that deal in the first place. In fact, you've got to trade him, you know, in like 2017 before they really get into that 2018 run if you want to make those kinds of moves and for like 5 decent prospects and keep rolling those guys in and out. There's a theory that the Rockies should build that way. It's not mine, but it's tough to know what they should do because you look at this situation, you go, how weird is it to say that maybe it's not best for them to have Nolan Arenado on the roster at $35 million if they can't afford to build around them.
It does make sense, though. It's an interesting theory because you've had star players, and you know, aside from a miraculous run, you haven't really seen that much success. So, are the Rockies a team that's built that way? Maybe they have some good players, but not guys you're paying that kind of money to, and they're more of a spread out type a roster when it comes to money. I mean, it's not that far-fetched of a theory. You're right, though. It's a bummer for fans because that's what you get into. You love your star players. That's what it's all about. But Drew, at the end of the day, something's got to change, and whatever this system is, and I agree with you on the Dick Monfort thing, take that step back. But even so, that plan going forward, maybe it's not all about those star players with these gigantic contracts and fanfare. It's about building throughout the entire roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's absolutely some merit to that. I think they at least need to move a little bit more in that direction. And it's funny because to some degree, a lot of these, you look at their great players, over the years, and they're guys who've kind of come up through their system, who they've grown. And Todd Helton spent his whole career here. Carlos Gonzalez didn't quite, but the vast majority of the better part of his career, stuff like that. Nolan and Trevor both came up through the system, drafted by the Rockies, developed by the Rockies. And so it's tough for them. And people often point to Dick Monfort's loyalty as one of the biggest problems that he has. I've never fully bought into that. I do think that there's a lot of other issues having to do with the ballpark and the altitude. Something I'd like to see them do, for example, before giving up on the idea of star players or giving up on the idea of building around a consistent team, is making some changes to Coors Field. The outfield is way too big for any human being to cover. If they had Barry Allen out there, okay, then it would make sense that there's four football fields worth of coverage zone. I've talked to every Rockies center fielder that I've been able to talk to about this, past, present, future, all of them. And I was like, what is this? What is going on? I talked to Charlie Blackman about the wear and tear over the course of the season, just jogging to and from the position 9 times a game. And people might think that's crazy, but it's an endurance sport, man. And like, it's just too much out there. They got to make the outfield smaller. I want like hockey style plexiglass in left field. There's got to be a little bit of a bigger wall.
Yes.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be good with that.
Yeah. I think those are some solutions. And I also think they just need to be far more creative on the pitching side. I've been running through some numbers this offseason. We've been doing deep dive research on Rockies history and what's been successful and what hasn't. And the fact of the matter is they've got star players and hitters up and down every year. But when they're good, they have quality bullpens and quality starting rotation. They don't have to have world beating. And people don't think of the Rockies as a pitching first team. And I think that's the biggest thing that's got to be turned around. They have to think of themselves as a pitching first team. Their team ERA isn't going to show that. But if you adjust and you use fancy stats like ERA plus and all these things, there's just an extraordinary amount of data that shows when the Rockies have four guys who have an ERA plus of over 100, so over league average in the bullpen, and four guys who do that in the starting rotation, well, they've done that 5 times, Brady, and wouldn't you know it, those are the 5 times the Colorado Rockies have made the postseason.
Wow. No, that's insightful, my friend. That's why we love having you on the program. Drew, I'm up against a break, man, but appreciate you as always.
Oh.
It'll be hey, keep on the lookout for the aliens.
I missed you.
You know I love you, man. We'll get you on later this week. We'll fill this up. We need more Rockies talk from Drew Kreisman and aliens and Barry Allen
all
references.
That's right.
All right, my man. Drew, appreciate you, my boy.
We'll
talk to you soon, okay? All right, Drew Kreisman, DNVR Rockies. A lot to unpack there. I'm up against a break, though. Top text Tuesdays. I got last second text here. Pillow Fight Dan, I disagree with you 100%, and this time I'm right about it. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hall. Check out the Hall Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA. There it is. That's the actual theme for the Hooligans there, especially on this Top Text Tuesday. I'll read a final text here. I do have a winner. I think we have a winner in mind, Colfax, but this is scary, Pillow Fight Dan. This is scary. So Pillow Fight Dan says, to clarify, I think the pieces are decent for the Broncos. Fant, Sutton, Judy, Hamler, Patrick Bowles, Cushenberry, Reisner are all in years one and two. Defense has pieces as well. If Locke develops alongside, we're on the right path, but it's 4 years out. So you're willing to go 4 years on top of the two you've just seen for Drew Locke. So Drew Locke is a six-year experiment in this NFL? A six-year experiment? I mean, surely you're squeezing into a wild card or two in that 6 years. I think Sutton is a monster already. Fant, I'm kind of up and down there. Judy, we haven't really seen enough. Hamler, surprisingly pretty solid. I like him. Bowles, I mean, there you go. You got your contract extension. He's one of the best left tackles in the game. Cushenberry, I'm very excited about. Reisner, I'm good there. I mean, I think you have the pieces. I think if you plug in a better quarterback, if like a Matt Stafford was on this team right now, would you be a playoff team? I feel like you would. I feel like this defense is pretty good, especially in the red zone. And I feel like the offense, they can run the ball well if Pat Shurmur and company are committed to it. And that's your own fault there. All right, Colfax, we got to crown a winner here today. It was kind of one of those interesting Top Text Tuesdays. We're going to go here. First one to our Broncos gift bag, and I got a bunch of other things they're throwing in the list for Christmas. The first one to get this one today for on his trip to three, we're going the Weld County Swami. Weld County Swami takes the day. Well earned, my friend. Well earned. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday, Colfax. We got a lot to get to on Wednesday's show. See you, Tennessee, tonight. My game of the week was going to be CU or UNC at CSU. Apparently, that's not going to happen. I'm going CU Utah football side of things. I think it's a huge game for so many reasons. So that's my game of the week. All available at theholeshow.com. Power to Play Sports poll questions there. Blogs, videos, you name it. Find it at theholeshow.com. Good night, Northern Colorado.